Ted Schubel.
Our focus this morning, the Fredericksburg-based American Canoe Association. Chief Operating Officer Chris Steck is here this morning. Chris, good morning. Welcome to the program.
Morning, Ted. Glad to be here. Thanks for having us.
It's good to have you here. You've been here for too long and not been in here, so I apologize for that. It's good to meet you and talk about the good things that the ACA does around here.
Great, thank you.
You've been here, the American Canoe Association, been here a few years. You're located down on Sophia Street and right where Brox is located.
Correct. Yep. We moved down to Fredericksburg in 2008. And so we've got a great spot right along the Rappahannock.
Describe the American Canoe Association. What do you do?
Yeah. So we actually are the oldest paddle sport nonprofit. We were actually founded in 1880. And we're a national organization. And we do everything from paddle sports education, stewardship, recreation, and competition are our main four tenets.
1880.
Yes, sir. Pretty long time.
I guess. So what I obviously water sports and using the water has gone on for all time. But what was it like back then?
Well, it was literally kind of a club of people who, and I kid you not, sailed canoes. So think canoes with sails on them. And then it was also founded on exploration. Some of the early folks, if you think back to the 1800s or 1880, we were all about exploring different parts of the map through waterways. So competition and exploration were kind of what we were founded on.
Interesting. What got you involved in this?
I was a summer camp counselor in college teaching canoeing at a summer camp. And it went from being certified to volunteering to a full-time position. So kind of a unique story there.
You have, without question, the best and the most unique cars in town. Anybody who's been around town long and has seen it knows what your vehicles are.
Right, yeah. One of our main corporate sponsors as a nonprofit is Subaru. And so they provide a certain number of vehicles for us, and they definitely have the pretty unique wraps that have, you know, kids and people paddling on them and whatnot. So you definitely spot us at stoplights and gas stations here in Fredericksburg.
Oh, you do, and you're the car you have today is that a kayak you've got on top?
Yeah, actually, it's a long stand up paddleboard.
Okay,
so today's stand up paddleboarding day. So
you've got the perfect job.
You know, it's interesting. The staff at the ACA is, you know, everybody's local from here in Fredericksburg, a great group of people. There's definitely the admin side of any business, but we do definitely get out on the river quite often.
Well, the location and with the river here, lots of opportunities, lots of I guess you have a chance to introduce a lot of people to the river, but also the safety part of being out on the river.
Right, yes, sir. One of the main education parts that we do is we certify instructors across the country. So summer camp counselors, raft guides, and a range of the folks here in Fredericksburg, like River Rock Outfitters, the Virginia Outdoor Center, and SUP Fredericksburg, have all gone through our certification process, so they've definitely met a pretty good standard. And so they get, you know, quite a few people out on the water, you know, every season.
What is part of that certification? What are some of the things that you teach people or that people have to know?
Right. So our certification processes go from level one, which is flat water, all the way up to level five, which would be, you know, hard white water or hard open ocean conditions. And it ranges from safety to skills, but most importantly, how to teach or convey those things to others. You know, a lot of times you see people hopping in a canoe, going down the rapids on the Rappahannock, no life jacket, no airbags. They flip over and, you know, it wraps around a rock, and we try and educate folks that, you know, there's a little bit more to it to have a safe and fun time.
Boy, and I guess the life jacket is the key thing anytime you're on the water anywhere.
You know, Ted, you're right. You know, every year the U.S. Coast Guard publishes statistics, and on any given year, well over 100 people die canoeing, kayaking, or stand-up paddleboarding across the whole country, and like 85%. Give or take every year, aren't wearing a life jacket. So if there's one thing, even if it's hot out there, man, that life jacket, you know, is really an important piece of equipment.
Well, in a lot of times people will say, I don't need one. I'm a good swimmer, or the water really isn't deep where I'm going.
Right. Yeah, and that's, you know, and it's one of those things where, boy, Mother Nature and the power of the river really make a difference. So it's definitely different than swimming in a swimming pool when you're out there in the river. There's eddies, there's currents, there's strainers. Heck, there's other boats out there. And so that life jacket really helps you float so that you can use that swimming ability to get to the shore.
What are eddies and strainers?
Yeah. No, I apologize. So think of kind of as you're going down the Rappahannock River, you know, there'll be a rock or a bend in the river, and it's the calm spot of water just downstream of a rock or on the inside of a bend of river. So out of the main current. And a lot of things that people need to know about on the Rappahannock, the strainers, that's logs and woody debris that are constantly moving and shifting throughout the river. So anyone who's walked the Heritage Trail, looked down at those rocks, you know, has seen a range of sticks and twigs or sometimes big trees. And
it's scary to look at that stuff sometimes.
Oh, it's a huge hazard. You know, I mean, once, you know, water will flow through those branches, but the human body or a kayak definitely does not. So definitely things to avoid out on the water.
Well, and Chris, what's interesting about that is that you think about having going on the lazy canoe trip and just – but you got to be somebody at least in that canoe, if you're – several of you at least. Somebody's got to be paying attention for that kind of stuff.
Right. Without a doubt. You know, current sometimes can be deceiving. And, you know, as that water picks up, if it's too late and you get swept into a rock or a strainer, you know, that can definitely be a tough part of the day. So, you know, a little bit of skill, especially for the person in the stern or the back of the canoe, is important.
Any other safety tips that you want to pass along this morning?
Yeah, sure. For the river, it's here in Fredericksburg, it's important to know the water level before you get out on there. And so right outside of the Virginia Outdoor Center Friends of the Rappahannock, there's kind of a little gauge, green, yellow, and red.
Yeah.
And generally green is, you know, a good flow rate. Yellow, you really need to have some skill to get out there. And red's a definite no-no because that's close to flood stage.
When, and I guess we were talking off air before we got going here, and another thing is, especially this time of year, if there can be storms that we don't get here, but that they get upstream, upriver, and say over in Culpeper.
Right, yeah. So rain in Culpeper or even Remington, when it hits there, you know, it takes X number of hours to get down to Fredericksburg. And so, like, I guess about 2 weeks ago, nice, calm water level here in town. People are out tubing and kayaking. And all of a sudden, you know, the river rose over a foot. And it actually stranded people on rocks and on the island. And so literally 2 counties worth of search and rescue teams had to come out and help get people back to the main side of the road. So understanding the weather and water levels is real important on any river in Virginia.
When you talk about it changing, it can change pretty quickly.
Yes, sir, very fast. You know, once kind of a wave of water comes down, it could rise well over a foot in a matter of minutes. And, you know, that can get pretty dangerous, you know, even on a nice, warm, sunny day.
I guess this time of year you see a big upswing and the people using the river for all kinds of different things.
Oh, right. I mean, as you know, as the weather warms up and we've had these nice couple weekends, these last 2 weekends, you know, from fishers to swimmers to waders to, you know, tubers and canoers and kayakers, the river is definitely, you know, a multi-use resource for us here in Fredericksburg.
I guess you would recommend for anybody, even doing just minimal things in the river, of learning some things, getting a little bit of training.
Right. You know, it can't hurt. You know, most of us grow up thinking, I'm an expert canoeist, or, you know, I kayaked back at camp, you know, years ago. But literally in that moving water environment, a 3-hour clinic from someone can, you know, not only make you safer, but you'll enjoy it more. You know, the canoe will go in a straight line. It won't hit bank to bank type of thing.
Chris Steck here is the Chief Operating Officer with the American Canoe Association. They're over on Sophia Street, AmericanCanoe.org, AmericanCanoe.org. More coming up this morning on Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Welcome back to Town Talk with Ted on News Talk 1230 WFVA. You can weigh in on today's Town Talk topic on Facebook. Just search News Talk 1230 WFVA. Now, your host, Ted Schubel.
Chris Steck here, the Chief Operating Officer for the American Canoe Association. AmericanCanoe.org is where you can find out more information. They are based here in Fredericksburg. And Chris, this is a big weekend coming up.
You know, it sure is, Ted. The ACA is part hosting 3 different events here in Fredericksburg, from the 35th annual Great Rappahannock Whitewater Canoe Race to the new event, Rock the River. And then we are also holding a national championships in the sport of canoe poling.
Let's talk about that first, because there are a whole lot of new terms I'm learning this morning with you in the first segment we did. But canoe poling, what is that?
Right, great question. Think of it as kind of a historical sport where think Maine guides, meaning shallow water, having to move goods upstream. And so literally folks stand in a canoe with a long wood, or in this case aluminum pole, and, you know, push off the bottom and propel yourselves upstream. And,
okay, I have seen that, I guess, in, you know, movies.
Right, yeah, and it's one of those things where, you know, a select group of folks from across the country still practice this, both for sport as well as for, you know, a means of travel in certain areas. And so we host a national championship every year, and this year it's going to be in Fredericksburg.
So how does it work? What's the competition like?
Right. There will probably be about 30 folks from Texas, New York, Maine, and, you know, and Missouri all coming to Fredericksburg. And literally it's a series of there's two events, slalom and wild water. Wild water is A to B, as fast as you can pull upstream and downstream. And then the slalom component, we'll put little buoys out in the river or on rocks or the shore, and they have to do different maneuvers.
So, just like skiing.
Right, yeah. So imagine like a section of rapids as an obstacle course. And so they have to do their technical skills, you know, through this rapid while standing up using a 12 to 14 foot aluminum pole.
Boy, how tiring would that be, especially on your upper body?
It really is. You know, it's one of those things where these people are athletes. Several of them train for this particular discipline. But I guess the neat thing about most polers, because it's a small group, is, you know, they all know each other. There's a lot of camaraderie. These people see each other once a year at this big event. And they give free clinics. So if people are interested in learning or watching, you know, be happy to, you know, let folks know where to see that.
So. We'll talk about that in a second, the clinic part of it. The competition, so not the slalom, the other one, so they're going up and down river.
Right, yeah, literally one of the amazing things with a canoe pole is, Ted, like if you had a pole and I had a paddle,
yeah,
and we were going to paddle we were going to race our canoe upstream, the person with the pole would win by far. The amount of leverage you get, so.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense.
Yeah, so literally for the wild water, there'll be one buoy upstream and one buoy downstream, and they have to go around each and end up back in the middle as fast as possible.
Wow, I can't imagine how tiring that must be.
Yeah.
These guys must have great, big size arms.
They do. It's a range of strength, but also technical skill, you know, because both of these events take place in. Let's say hard class one, maybe easy class two rapid. So it's definitely strength, skill, and a certain amount of strategy.
And so this will, in what day? This will be on Saturday?
Yep. So Saturday afternoon at the Virginia Outdoor Center is where the Nationals will take place. And Friday afternoon at 3, we'll have free clinics and demonstrations. So if someone just wanted to come down and see and maybe try it, Friday at 3. If not, if you want to watch the experts race, Saturday at noon at the Virginia Outdoor Center.
So these are there competitions in other parts of the country? Do these guys compete?
They do. We have a range of regional or state competitions hosted by local volunteers. And then when folks aren't competing, they do a lot of cruising, meaning they'll, you know, imagine parking in a parking lot and poling upstream and then floating back down to your car. So it's kind of a neat way for folks to spend an afternoon on the water.
I can imagine floating back down, but right. Going upstream is harder to get my arms around, so to speak.
Right, yeah. Well, and, you know, that's the workout. You know, that's kind of that mental challenge and physical activity. So, you know, you pull upstream X distance, and then literally, you know, you relax and float back down to the car.
Is this something both men and women do?
They sure do. We have events for men, women, and, you know, intermediates. So even if you're just starting out, feel free to come out. We'd love to help you out and let you experience canoe poling.
So how far back does canoe poling go? I mean, if you were talking about moving goods and that kind of thing upstream, that this, I guess, would go back to 1880 or before.
If not before. I mean, if you think about it, when you look at, you know, pictures and you know, kind of the history of paddle sports, you know, people were standing up with a long wood stick or pole, you know, way before they figured out to kind of flatten one in into a paddle. And so I would say it probably even predates, you know, the historic wooden paddles.
Yeah, no, I would guess so. I mean, I could even imagine that you could go back as far as the days of the Indians and all.
Oh yes, if not earlier.
Earlier,
it's pretty. You know, get a big stick and push. you know, a lot easier than trying to, you know, carve a paddle. So, yeah.
So boy, the Rappahannock around here, it would be just perfect for this kind of thing.
You know, it really is. The water levels right now, you know, they're not too high and they're not too low, and so it's a, you know, it's kind of a great water level. The one drawback, so before people go standing up in your canoes out there on the river, is when you stand and you fall, it does hurt. You know, especially if you fall out of the canoe onto some of those rocks. So it's definitely something you'd probably want to get a little bit of training before you just jumped out in whitewater and stood up in your canoe.
I guess so, because that was going to be my next question, Chris, about I can't imagine standing up in a canoe for long.
Right, much less racing or going fast.
Yes.
Much less through a rapid. And so, hence, that's the reason why, Ted, you should come out and watch and see some of these folks, because it's a small group of people, because there is a lot of skill, but it is something to see, people standing and maneuvering up a rapid, you know, as well as down.
Yeah. No, and when they're going down, how fast are they going?
They actually can get going pretty fast, and so they'll actually use a technique called snubbing, which is where they actually slow themselves down, you know, to maintain control so they don't get out of control. So it's, you know, there's definitely some strategy involved.
I can't imagine, because whenever I'm in a canoe and I'm a bit skittish about these kind of things anyway, but I'm just like, don't move. You know, it's, you know, you're moving too much. To be standing, the type of balance and the way you handle yourself, I can't imagine.
Yeah, no, it's really a unique skill, and you know, there's definitely a learning curve even for the experts.
So you're offering on Friday is when you can kind of see what goes on.
Right, Friday at 3 will kind of be some clinics and demos, and then Saturday afternoon, you know, that'll be the actual racing. So that would just be spectators.
The 35th annual Great Rappahannock Whitewater Canoe Race then is also on Saturday, and that's been a race for 35 years has been talked about and has been utilized around here.
Right. Yeah, the Great Rappahannock Whitewater Canoe Race, I mean, Ted, it truly is a classic Fredericksburg event. You know, for 35 years, it has been volunteer run by a great group of folks. And one of the cornerstones of this event is it's family friendly. Mm-hmm. And the proceeds of it every year get donated back to organizations in Fredericksburg. So this year, Friends of the Rappahannock, the Fredericksburg Fire Department's River Rescue Team, and the local Fredericksburg chapter of Team River Runner, which is disabled veterans, will all be beneficiaries of any proceeds from the race. So it's a great, you know, it's a great event. People get to come, enjoy the river, race, and then the money is donated back to the community.
Where's the start and the finish?
Gotcha. So headquarters will be at Old Mill Park. So you'll see lots of canoes and kayaks and stand-up paddleboards at Old Mill Park.
Okay.
One of the five-mile race will then start at Mott's Run put in, about 5 miles upstream, and we'll finish at Old Mill Park. And then that'll be first thing in the morning Saturday. If you're a late riser, right after lunch around 1 o'clock, we'll be doing the sprints, which will start at the Virginia Outdoor Center and paddle that mile of whitewater ending at Old Mill Park. And then later in the afternoon, there'll be stand-up paddleboard races that go from Old Mill Park the mile down to City Dock.
Boy, the sprints would be something to see.
You know, it really is. You know, around 1 o'clock, to be looking at the bluffs right off there off the Heritage Trail, you'll see canoe, after kayak, after stand-up paddleboard even, racing through those rapids right there in Fredericksburg. So that's probably the best spectator part for the event.
The river at a good level this year?
Right now, it's a little bit low, but that kind of makes it a little more family friendly, so it's not overly pushy. If the water gets too high, we have to move it from the whitewater section to flat water. And so with a little bit of rain this week, we probably should have a nice, good, comfortable floating level, and the rapids will be challenging, but hopefully not too hard.
I guess, again, in thinking just about the physical exertion, the longer... not the sprint, but the longer. That's a challenging part of the river there.
Yes, it sure is. I mean, 5 miles of, you know, rapids and flatwater pools, it'll take the top competitors, you know, anywhere from 55 minutes to an hour and 10 minutes to do those 5 miles.
Wow, that's a lot of you talk about when in road racing what marathon runners go through. There's a lot of stamina and training is involved here.
Yeah, there really is. You know, to paddle consistently for that long, and then you know every 300 yards or so there's a rapid. You know, some small or some big, and the route you take through the rapid, you know, definitely determines A, whether you stay upright or not, and B, you know, can you read the faster water to try and get a medal.
Have you ever done any competition?
Yes, sir, I sure have. My wife and I have raced for several years, and then now that I've got two young kids, they'll each race with me this weekend. So,
oh, so you're doing it this – I didn't realize you were actually doing it this weekend.
I'm the race director, but I'm able to usually squeeze in one sprint race in the afternoon. So the great volunteers and staff allow me to get out for at least 15 minutes and race with the kids.
Well, we'll talk about more of that when we come back. We need to take a break, but fascinating. The fact that you're a competitor, I want to talk more about with you when we come back. We're talking about the American Canoe Association and all of their good work in the area, and especially the Rock the River and the events taking place this weekend in Fredericksburg. Chris Steck with us. More coming up on Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It's 8:30.
Welcome back to Town Talk with Ted on News Talk 1230 WFVA. You can weigh in on today's Town Talk topic on Facebook. Just search News Talk 1230 WFVA. Now, your host, Ted Schubel.
Chris Steck is here. He's with the American Canoe Association based in Fredericksburg on Sophia Street. AmericanCanoe.org is where you can hop online and get more information or see some of the things we've been talking about. The Rock the River is this weekend, and part of that is some races, which I didn't know and just found out just before we took the break that you're going to be a competitor. Do you do any training to get ready for this? Do you run? Do you lift weights?
Well, Ted, I used to. I used to train quite a bit, but now it's more I guess I compete for fun.
So okay.
I'll be racing with my kids against other adults with their kids. We have an adult youth class, and so it's more for fun than anything else. But at the same time, we do have an expert class this weekend, and so there will be people coming from across the Mid-Atlantic to truly see how fast they can go.
So are your kids up – are they up front in the canoe?
They are, yes. So my 8-year-old will be up front. He's got a little paddle, and he'll paddle most of the way, which is a good thing. And so, so we'll see how fast we can go. And the big competition for us is, does my son beat my daughter? Does my daughter beat my son?
Oh, I never thought of that.
Yes. And so last year, my daughter, who's younger, edged out my son with me by like 2 or 3 seconds. So – yeah, little family controversy there.
So your wife does this too?
She does. She sure does. So sometimes she and I will race in the mixed class, one male, one female.
Wow, there's a lot of competition. You mentioned you're competitive,
right?
That you're competitive. You are.
Yeah. So, but at this point, you know, it's more of a fun competitive than anything else, which is that's kind of the focus of the weekend is whether you're a hardcore competitor or you just want to kind of get out there, race, and support the community, But both are great.
So, Chris, what kind of gear will you be wearing?
Yeah, so for this race, all racers are required to wear life jackets and helmets as well. And so if, your old bicycle helmet will work if you don't have a paddle-specific helmet. And then most canoes and kayaks we encourage to have airbags. So if you do decide to flip over and count some fish in the river, it'll help your canoe or kayak float and make rescue easier.
Okay, I didn't realize that they had airbags. Do a lot of canoes have that now?
A lot don't. But for folks paddling swift moving water or whitewater, it's really a good idea. Because when that canoe flips, it definitely displaces water and it floats it higher. Less likely to lose your canoe wrapped around a rock.
Interesting. Yeah. Yep. Any other as technology goes along, have canoes changed much over the years?
The basic designs really haven't, with the exception of some of the extreme whitewater canoes. Now some canoes are literally 7 to 8 feet in length, so they're very, very short, and they have very rockered ends, meaning they're very curved.
Okay.
And so they're literally for running waterfalls or big whitewater, but other than that, most canoe designs, they haven't really improved much, over the time. They change materials, but sure. The design's close.
That's yeah. what I thought. A canoe is a canoe is a
yes, sir.
Is a canoe. There are some other things going on Saturday besides just some of the races we've talked about.
Right. Yeah, one of the two things that we've tried to do recently, and this is, you know, I think a great thing for the community, is with some local volunteers, we have the Scout Challenge. So Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, or Venture Scouts, there's a one-mile race for those folks. And then what we started last year was a free youth race. So literally any age child, boy or girl, right there at Old Mill Park. It's only about 50 yards long. We have the Fredericksburg Fire and Rescue Team will be there. And we provide the boats and the life jackets, and it's an opportunity for young kids to race right along the shore at Old Mill Park. Everybody's yelling and cheering. So a pretty fun way for them to get excited about racing and just, let's face it, just paddling on the river.
I grew up on the Great Lakes, and my parents insisted that when my sister and I got to a certain age that we learned how to swim. And I guess same thing around here. We're by the river, and we're by water. Not a bad idea to have your kids know how to swim.
Oh, without a doubt, Ted. And it's one of the things where, you know, Old Mill Park, so many people go there every weekend and every afternoon, and what folks don't realize is the water level changes due to the river coming down, but it's also tidal,
yeah.
meaning like it's literally tidal like the ocean or the Chesapeake Bay. And so from low tide to high tide, there could be a 2 or 3 foot difference. So when your child wades out into the gravel bar, you know, in the morning, you know, 4 hours later, it might be over their head. So learning to swim is just crucial, I think. It's one of those life skills that everybody should at least attempt to learn.
Yeah, a lot of people don't realize about with the fall line in mm-hmm. Fredericksburg right. here and what that means. And like you say, and then they get into trouble. As part of what's going on this weekend, we've talked about a couple of the big events. Rock the River is I've seen the logo around. It's a very cool logo.
Right.
And get your attention. And this is the first year, isn't it, for Rock the River?
Correct, yes. The ACA, along with a couple other partners, River Rock Outfitters, Friends of the Rappahannock, Spencer Devon Brewing, and 837 Design in the Virginia Outdoor Center decided, you know, we wanted to do another event that was community-friendly that, you know, supported the river and educated people about the river. And so this went from a kind of a small idea this year to what it's looking like. It's going to be a pretty big festival. So
what's happening? Where is it taking place?
Yep. So from 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. at Old Mill Park, there is a wide range of things. Over 45 vendors, mostly outdoor-oriented, and mm-hmm. each vendor has to provide some type of activity. So the fly fishing folks will be giving free fly fishing clinics. There'll be ultimate frisbee. There's a four-mile run walk along the Heritage Trail that'll take place in the evening. There's the canoe race we've already talked about and kayak and stand-up paddle boards. 8 live bands will be playing for free throughout the day on the Hildrup stage, so we appreciate their support. And then for those 21 and older who want to get in, we will have a beer garden. And we have over 10 local Fredericksburg breweries who will be giving out samples of their various brews. So it's, you know, a little bit of beer, a little bit of music. Over 40 vendors, including artists, and 2 different races, all to celebrate the Great Rappahannock River.
And the fact that it's down at Old Mill Park, you're in a great spot to be able to watch some of the things we've already talked about.
Correct. Yeah, the races will be, you know, both the running race and the river races will be taking place. There'll be music if you just want to sit and listen to music. All of the different vendors, from frisbee to fly fishing to the Friends of the Rappahannock, it's going to be a pretty neat way to spend the day as an entire family.
Kind of kick off summer with all these events.
Without a doubt. You know, the organizing committee, made up of a bunch of local businesses and nonprofits, is literally trying to, you know, turn this into a great kind of literally kick off the summer for Fredericksburg, you know, the first Saturday in June every year.
Well, and this has always been when the Great Rappahannock Whitewater Canoe Race is, because I remember the years when that was it, and you've slowly added to it, and boy, this really adds to it.
Right, it really does. So it's kind of that, you know, an event that's taken place in Fredericksburg for 35 years is kind of like the cornerstone foundation, and we're just trying to enhance it and expand it so that, you know, people realize there's a range of outdoor activities that you can do. There'll even be a range of canine vendors out there. So life jackets for your dogs, dog agility drills, And I think we'll even have some food trucks throughout the day. Get there early and find a parking place.
Yeah, for sure. Lots of fun though. With Rock the River. Is there a website for that, or is the best way to find out just at with your the ACA website?
RocktheRiverFXB.org or com.
Okay,
one of those two.
Type one of them in, and you'll figure it out. But again, Rock the River. That's exciting. This is you talk about kind of signature events for Fredericksburg, and this could easily become one.
We're hoping so. You know, it's a big conglomeration. You know, if you go to the website, you'll see all of the different partners and sponsors at the bottom. So literally, this was, you know, truly a community coming together to the point where Blues in the Berg and the Fredericksburg Blues Society have really helped with the music. Rappahannock Magazine's been promoting it, and Catalyst Media has helped out along with, you know, you mentioned the neat logo. Local organization 837 Design provided their services. So it's truly been a bunch of volunteers from the business community coming together to put this event on for the city.
Now, I've seen the logo around, and I was wondering what is that. And as I read more about it, I saw the connection with everything going on. Chris Steck here with the American Canoe Association, our guest this morning on Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. We've talked mainly about a lot of these events, but I know that there's not even enough time this morning to get into all the different things that you do. But one of the things you do, the Stream to Sea initiative that you're involved in with the environment. Describe what's involved there, Chris.
Gotcha, Ted. That is, as I mentioned earlier on in the show, one of our main tenets is stewardship. And so that means access to paddling environments and basically clean water to paddle in, you know, whether it's a mountain stream, a lake, or the ocean. And so about a couple years back, the ACA teamed with NOAA to try and mitigate the amount of debris that makes its way into the ocean. You know, people have heard about the big debris fields in the Pacific and, you know, trash and sea turtles getting entangled. And so our Stream to Sea initiative is empowering paddlers across the country to basically clean up, not just in organized cleanups, but when they go out on their own. And so we provide what we call paddle green bags in different sizes. So, you know, put a little small mesh style bag, you know, in your lap when you're kayaking. And when you see that Coke can floating down the river, you know, go and pick it up and recycle it.
What a great idea, because you're out there anyway, and it gives you something to put to
it really
fill
does.
It up.
And, you know, depending upon statistics, you know, different reports, you know, there's roughly 50 million people who canoe, kayak, or stand-up paddleboard each year. I mean, imagine if every time they went out, they picked up one or two pieces of trash. I mean, that's all we're asking, kind of a behavioral change. I mean, my gosh, that would just be phenomenal for our nation's waterways.
Well, every spring when Friends of the Rappahannock does their river cleanup, it's just amazing to see the things that they find. It's sad, really.
It is. I mean, the number of dumpsters they use and the fact that a lot of the times, you know, with FOR, we clean up, you know, the same areas.
Yeah.
And so the same section of river, the same quarter mile, it's amazing what happens. So Stream to Sea helps augment that. It's a great program.
So people can join the American Canoe Association.
Yes, sir. They sure can. We're a national nonprofit. You know, we have a range of benefits. Easiest way is, you know, you can join online and choose kind of your benefits level. Or if you're in Fredericksburg, I mean, we literally encourage you to drop into our office. You know, we're the bright blue building right there on Sophia Street. Meet some of the staff. Heck, we might even be able to take you out on the river.
Cool. You can see if you're not sure where the building is, look for the cars.
You got
because
it.
Because you've got those fabulous looking cars.
Yep, the Rapp Subarus, yes sir.
You've mentioned stand up paddling, and I see that all around. And I'll never forget. It was last summer. I was at an event at Aquia Landing, and I remember it was at night, and a couple of people with the stand up paddles went by, and the one lady looked like. She was old. She was in her 80s, I think, doing it. And it just amazes me to see the age range of people doing stand-up paddling. How difficult is it?
You know, Ted, stand-up paddleboarding, you know, has literally swept the nation over the last 5 or 6 years. From surfing in the ocean to flat water to white water, you name it, people are doing it. And a lot of people are very successful very quickly. You know, once you get over that fear of standing up. You know, so imagine,
yeah.
You know, you know, at City Dock, you know, kneel down as you paddle away from the dock, and once you're a safe distance away, stand. And then the beauty of stand-up paddleboarding is because there's that fin, it helps the board track or go straight. So a couple strokes on the left side, switch the paddle, a couple strokes on the right side, and whether you're 80 or 8, you're up and running, you know, and
it's pretty easy. I look at it, and I just think, I don't know that I could do that.
Oh, I'm sure you could. The one thing you really have to think about stand-up paddleboarding is you have to accept the fact that you're probably going to fall in at some point and get wet.
Yeah.
And it's no big deal because the board's only 3 or 4 inches off the water, so you kind of just climb back on. So that self-rescue is way easier than if you flip in a canoe or kayak. So, you know, prepare to get wet. You fall off. You get back on. You keep going. You know, it's part of the sport.
Okay. So it hasn't been my imagination that it seems like I see more of them on the river and all over the place.
Correct. Without a doubt. I mean, it's kind of the new paddle sport that swept the nation. You know, it's not a fad. It's definitely here to stay. You know, whether you're stand-up paddle boarding with manatees in Florida or just literally cruising from Old Mill Park to City Dock here in Fredericksburg.
That was what I was going to ask you. The other thing, I guess, if you're doing stand-up paddle boarding, you got to be aware of where you're at, and you don't want to all of a sudden get in the rapids or something.
Right, correct. Yes, because paddling rapids on a stand-up paddle board is a very niche aspect of the sport.
People do that?
They sure do. They sure do. So a very small group of folks test their skills, you know, standing up on a board through whitewater. So
I guess it's not surprising, but again, boy, that would take some skill too.
It really does, yes, sir.
That makes going down doing skiing seem like skiing would be easy.
Right. Yeah.
So, interesting. The American Canoe Association, our focus this morning, Chief Operating Officer Chris Steck here. When we come back, we'll talk again about what's happening this weekend with Rock the River and a number of activities. This is a very big weekend on the river. We'll talk about it next on Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
On News Talk 1230 WFVA, you can weigh in on today's Town Talk topic on Facebook. Just search News Talk 1230 WFVA. Now, your host, Ted Schubel.
Chris Steck here with the American Canoe Association. A lot of activities taking place this weekend. A lot of activities on the river. The big thing, I guess, Rock the River. This looks like it's going to be a huge event, and I can see, Chris, this really becoming a big event for this area.
You know, we really hope so. You know, like I said earlier, you know, it's a group of local businesses and nonprofits literally just trying to, you know, elevate everybody's, you know, knowledge of the, you know, the great Rappahannock River that we have. You know, throw in, you know, a beer garden, some free music, a range of local vendors, local artists, local food trucks, you know, the Run for the River presented by Fred Events, and then the, you know, that 35-year classic Great Rappahannock Whitewater Canoe Race. So it should be a great Saturday afternoon at Old Mill Park.
Yeah, no, it definitely will. 35th annual Great Rappahannock Whitewater Canoe Race. If someone's interested in getting involved in being a participant, is it too late to do that, to sign up?
No, they can register online, americancanoe.org/GRWCR, or they can show up very early at Old Mill Park on race day. We'll have the registration open for on-site registration at 7:30 a.m., but they can register online ahead of time. It'll make their experience much smoother.
Speaking of their experience, should they have some experience to compete in something like this?
You know, we generally, if you've never paddled that section of river or never paddled whitewater, you just have to really do an honest assessment of your skills. And if you're like, hey, I'm kind of, you know, I've got some good skills and I can, you know, kind of wing it, great. But if you've never paddled whitewater in your life, it might be a good idea to watch it the first year and then think about it for the next year. Or yeah, Take advantage of one of the flatwater races that afternoon.
At the beginning, talked about this a little bit, but you offer classes and a lot of training on a lot of things.
Correct. Yep. So our certified instructors, you know, work at 3 different organizations here in town. So, you know, to get an hour clinic or a half day clinic, you know, from the Virginia Outdoor Center, River Rock Outfitters, or SUP Fredericksburg, you know, that would be the way to go.
One of the things we also talked about will take place on Saturday, but also on Friday, canoe polling. You've got some things going on with that.
Yep, we're bringing our national championships to Fredericksburg. So Friday afternoon at 3 at the Virginia Outdoor Center, you can try canoe polling as well as watch some clinics. our demos, and then Saturday afternoon will be our national championships. So polling athletes from across the country will be here competing on the rapids right near the Virginia Outdoor Center.
And you're going to be competing with the canoe race on Saturday. Have you set any goals as far as times you expect to get, want to get?
So for the sprint race, it's just over a mile. So I'm hoping with my son and daughter we'll finish in around 10-minute marks or under 10 minutes. And this year, I think my son really wants to beat my daughter because last year she edged him out by like 3 seconds.
Well, we will see. The American Canoe Association around since 1880 hasn't been in Fredericksburg that long. Any needs for volunteers or things that you do around here?
Right. You know, it's one of those things where, you know, we're a national organization. We have members in all 50 states and a couple foreign countries, but we definitely try and do a range of things to give back to the Fredericksburg community. So we've had a range of volunteers help us on a range of initiatives, whether it's things like this weekend, you know, or office functions. So whether it's community service or just wanting to give back, please drop by our office on Sophia Street. We'd love to talk to you and fit your volunteerism with some of our needs for the community.
Who doesn't want to hang around people who have kayaks and canoes strapped to their car?
Right. Yeah, it is a pretty fun lifestyle job, that's for sure, Ted.
I guess, and one of the things we've talked about this morning, you can't emphasize it enough, be safe. And the first line of safety is a life jacket. And probably when you're dealing with the river, do you recommend like a safety helmet?
For the rapids, yes. At rapids, a helmet's a good idea, but literally a life jacket, you know, most important piece of equipment. It could save your life, and heck, it allows you to float down the river, so it even makes it a little bit more fun.
But again, a lot of us think, the river's not that deep. I'm okay. Anytime you're dealing with water, any kind of water, you want to think about a life jacket.
Correct. Yeah, whether it's the current of the river or literally right there at Old Mill Park, you've got river current and tidal. So there's actually a lot of stuff happening, you know, right there at that one location that you just need to be aware of.
AmericanCanoe.org. Chris Steck, the Chief Operating Officer for the American Canoe Association. Chris, great to meet you. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having us. Have a great day.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA.